This morning, we're going to take a little passage out of the book of Joshua. If you would, open your Bibles this morning to Joshua chapter 1, and we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 11. The last time I was before you, I did a sermon entitled Foundations for Success. This is kind of a follow-up to it, and we're going to be looking at possessing your future. So Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 11, it says in verse 1, it says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness in this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not be any man able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have a good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, "Pass through the host, and command the people, saying, Prepare ye victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land, which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it." Gene Calment holds the record as the oldest living woman whose age can be verified. And on her 120th birthday, she was asked to describe her vision for the future. She said, "Very brief." And we can understand Mrs. Calment's view of the future. See, she's in a unique situation, and she knows that there isn't much time left for her on this earth. But what about the rest of us? What's our vision of the future? What does the future hold for ourselves, for our families, for our church? You know, if I was to ask you about your future, ask you about your plans, your goals, your dreams, what would you be able to share with me about it? You know, the fact is, most people just accept whatever's thrown to them, whatever's handed their way, and they don't really have any focus towards possessing their future at all. So today I want to talk to you about someone that, for me at least, stands as an example of how to possess your future. And his name's Joshua. See, Joshua was the man chosen by God to lead his people into the promised land. They'd wandered in that wilderness for 40 years. But now they're ready to cross the Jordan River and finally possess the land. You know, as we just read, God told Joshua something along these lines. He says, "Joshua, you've got this tremendous future ahead of you. I'm going to do great things in your life. But there's a dynamic at work here. I'll give you everything I've promised and more. But it's going to be a fight. I'm going to fulfill my promise. But Joshua, you got to be willing to possess it." You know, Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, the Lord says, "You know, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, said the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. See, like Joshua, I think that God says something very similar to us. He says, I got great things I want to do in your life. I've got things that you haven't even begun to dream of. All your past is prologue, and all your best days are ahead of you. But you need to know it's going to be a battle, and you need to possess your future. Well, that's fine and dandy, but how do we do that? How do we possess our future? I would say by doing the same three things that God told Joshua to do in possessing his. In Joshua chapter 1, God gives Joshua a pep talk. He says, I know you're going to be in battles for the next 20 years, so I want to encourage you. I want you to do three things. And these three things will bring success to your life. So what I want to show you this morning, it's God's strategy for success. His strategy for possessing the future. The first thing I'd like to show you is that you got to set up a plan. You need a plan for your future because, frankly, that's where you're going to spend the rest of your life. Look at verses 2 and 3. It says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. So God tells Joshua, now that my servant Moses is dead, you must lead my people. And you got to lead them across this Jordan River into the land that I'm giving them. I promise you what I promised Moses. Everywhere you go, you will be on land that I have given you. So what is Joshua's response? I mean, it's a big promise. What is Joshua's response? Look at verse 11. Joshua immediately, he tells them, go through the camp and tell the people to get their provisions ready. In 3 days, you'll cross this Jordan River and you're going to take possession of the land that the Lord your God has given you. He didn't wait around to think about it. See, Joshua has a plan, and he's ready to act on God's promise. Guys, the future belongs to the person who prepares for it. See, while we don't have all the details, Joshua had been preparing all of his life for the leadership position God had placed him in. And this wasn't something that was given to him in the spur of the moment. I mean, God didn't go, well, you know, who have I got? That Joshua dude. No, this wasn't something, the spur of a moment. Joshua had a plan for leadership, and you as well have to have a plan. You know, there was a national survey taken, and in this survey, they found that 27% of all people have given absolutely no thought to their future whatsoever. 60% have given some thought to it, usually only in the area of finances. 10% have a fairly good idea of where they're headed, and only 3% of our population have written down any goals at all. This is interesting because the same survey also revealed that 27% of our population are welfare recipients. 60% of our population are barely making ends meet, 10% of the population is fairly well off, and 3% of the population is highly successful. The exact same numbers. Now, what's interesting to me is that the only discernible difference in this survey that they could find was that those that were highly successful had written down their plans and their goals. And they were out-achieving the others 10-1. See, the point is that successful people plan for the future. You guys do that? Are you making plans? Have you given any thought of what's going to happen next year in your spiritual life, your family life, your career? Or do you just kind of drift through life, drift along? Point is, if you're going to be successful, you need to have a plan. Secondly, you need to stay in the Word. See, you know, I'm sure that as God spoke to Joshua, Joshua understood perhaps better than anyone that this conquest of the Promised Land wasn't going to be accomplished overnight. And that if the plan was to be successful, there had to be a set of standards by which he and his people would operate under. The Lord also highlights this in his conversation with Joshua. To paraphrase, God says to Joshua, you're going to be in battles for the next 20 years. You're going to be fighting. The Bible is your instruction manual for conflict. It's the manual for the battle of lives. Look at verses 6 and 7. It says, be strong and courageous, for you will lead my people to possess all the land I swore to give to their ancestors. Be strong and very courageous. Obey all the laws Moses gave you. Do not turn away from them, and you'll be successful in everything you do. Look at how he put it in verse 7. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left. And depending on whether you're an optimist or a pessimist, it could be either one. I was exactly backwards. But what God is saying, don't turn away from the laws I have written. He's saying, don't get sidetracked. Have you noticed how easy it is to get sidetracked today as a Christian? To get off to the other things, or off into other things that just aren't important? You know, I see people come into this church and they get excited for the Lord, and I see them get saved, and they start out great, and then they get sidetracked. And you know, it's not always by bad things. Sometimes it's by very good things. All of a sudden, they get sidetracked by their career, and that takes on more importance. Or they get sidetracked by sports, or a hobby, or financial difficulty, or kids, or an illness, or having more children, or whatever. And somehow, in the process, they lose their focus on the Word of God. You know, one of the greatest promises in the Bible is right here in verse 8. Look at it with me. It says in verse 8, it says, the book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. He says, study this law continually. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be sure to obey all that is written in it. Only then will you succeed. You know, in verses 7 and 8, success is promised twice. God says in verse 7, he says, don't turn away from the law. Stay with the Bible and you'll be successful. In verse 8, he says, keep your mind saturated with the Word of God. You'll be successful. See, the point is this. God's promise of success has absolutely nothing to do with your ability. That's good for me because I'm lacking a whole lot of ability. God's promise of success in your life has everything to do with your commitment to the Word. Isn't that amazing? So, how do you stay in the Word? I'd suggest three ways. And that they're in our text. First off, is study it. Study this book of law continually. In verse 8, first part of it, it says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Secondly, you need to think it. It's not just enough to read it. You need to think it. It says in verse 8b, it says, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Spit it back up. Chew on it for a while. Thirdly, you need to live it. Last part of verse 8, it says, obey all that is written in it. Verse 8, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. So what does it mean to stay in the Word? It means I study it. It means I think it. It means I live it. If I do these things, God says, blank check, I will succeed. Look at the last part of verse 8. It says, if you do all these things, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, for then thou shalt have good success. Now, I'm not saying something, name it and claim it. I'm saying learn it, live it, and own it. See, God says, you obey the promise, you obey the premise, I'll fulfill the promise. Study the Word, think about the Word, live the Word, and watch God bless your life in ways that you cannot even imagine. And this applies not just to Joshua, it applies to every one of us sitting here. You know, in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, it tells us that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. See, God's Word straightens us out. It shows us the path to walk on and how to walk on it. It warns us when we get off that path, and it shows us how to get back on that path. The Bible says that God's Word is your soul food, and you need to set up a plan and you need to stay in the Word if you're going to possess your future. You know, I imagine Joshua was a pretty busy feller. I mean, think about it. He's the leader of an entire nation now. And I don't imagine he had a whole lot of extra time on his hands. But you know what? As busy as he was, he made time to study, and he made time to pray. Evaluate yourself on this one. I mean, I had to. Estimate the time you spend reading and studying the Bible each day. Figure up how much time you spend with the Lord in prayer. And then I want you to compare it to about how much time you spend every day watching television. If you want to be successful, if you want to possess your future, you got to set up a plan first, and you got to stay in the Word. Thirdly, you need to step out in faith. You need to step out in faith. See, I like that word, step out. See, because faith is an action. A lot of people think faith is just something you believe. But faith is much more than mental assent. Here's what I mean. I believe, and I proved it last week because I just came back from Pennsylvania. I believe a plane will fly, but I'll never know personally if I just look at the runway. Until I take that step of faith and get on board, my belief means absolutely nothing. People say, I believe in Jesus. So what? So does the devil. Faith means to commit yourself to what you believe in. You got to step out in faith because faith is an action. Three times in this passage, and if you mark your Bibles, you might want to mark this. There's three times in this passage that there's a phrase. It's be strong and be courageous. Look in Joshua 1, verse 6. It says, be strong and of good courage. Joshua 1, 7. It says, be thou strong and very courageous. Joshua 1, 9 says, have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. So you got to ask yourself, when you see this thing three times, why did God have to tell Joshua three times to be strong and be courageous? See, I believe, because God knew that there were going to be a whole lot of things in Joshua's life that'll distract him, that'll discourage him, that'll depress him. But he can be strong and courageous because he knows that God will be with him every step of the way. You know, at this point in the story, Joshua has a decision to make. He's at a crossroads. And he can either step out in faith, or he can stay right where he's at. The choice is his. You know, each one of us face that same decision. And we'll have to decide whether we have the courage to trust God and step out of our comfort zone, or will we stay where we are? See, the choice is ours. Now, let me give you some background on this. The children of Israel have been wandering in the desert for 40 years. And this nation is standing at the edge of the Jordan River, and they're ready to cross into this new land. And they know at the moment they cross that river, it's an act of aggression. The moment they cross over there, there's already seven other nations, and it's an act of war. They will be throwing down the gauntlet the moment they get to the other side. On the other side of the river, there were seven nations, and every one of them larger and stronger than the Israelite nation. See, Israel didn't have an army. They'd been in slavery for 400 years. And all the men who knew how to handle a weapon had died making circles in the desert. They're going to cross this river, and they're going to enter in to a long period of battle and war. So now you know why God is telling Joshua a couple times, be strong, be courageous. Even at that, what gave Joshua the confidence to move ahead? Look at verse 9. It says, "Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." What gave Joshua his confidence to move ahead? God said, remember who you're doing this for. You represent the King of Kings. You're on assignment from Almighty God. Who do you think told you to do this in the first place? If I told you to do it, I'm going to be with you. See, that's the nice thing about being in the center of God's will. See, when he tells you to do something, he gives you the power and the ability to do it. See, God isn't ever going to take you any place that he can't sustain you. God has never in the history of the world sponsored a flop. God says, I'm going to be with you. Now step out in faith. Now, if you have your Bibles with you this morning, look back at these verses, and I want you to circle the words afraid and dismayed. These are two enemies that are going to prevent you from possessing your future. These are two things that will keep you from becoming all God wants you to be. Fear and discouragement. See, fear keeps us from even getting started. It's what tells us, you know, I don't even want to try this. I could never do that. Discouragement keeps us from continuing. When things go bad, when the world quits blowing us kisses, that discouragement says, I'm done. This double-powered whammy hits us, fear and discouragement, and they keep us from making our lives count. They keep us from being all that God has created us to be, all that God wants us to be. But God says, you know what? Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. Why? I'm with you. That's the bottom line. See, it's fear that keeps us in the desert when we should be living in the promised land. You know, the thing I like about Joshua is that he was a man of courage. You know what courage is? Courage is when you move ahead in spite of your fear. See, courage is when you witness to that person at work, or you make that appointment, you make that assignment, that project, you go after that dream, when you step out of your comfort zone and you do something that you wouldn't normally do. You feel your heart pounding in your chest, and your throat just closes off, but you do it in spite of yourself. You know, a lot of people at this church, there's just a tremendous amount of courage in this church. I've seen it displayed time and time again during my time here. I mean, over the last 12, 13 years, sometimes it's just jaw-dropping to see the amount of courage that is sitting here. We've seen obstacles that look like they can't be overcome, and sometimes we've experienced fear. I mean, just paralyzing fear. But we knew that God was right there telling us, be strong, be courageous. I'm with you. I'll see you through this. Just step out in faith. I've seen it displayed in some of your personal lives as you've faced disappointment, the loss of life and possessions. And yet you've been strong and you've been courageous, realizing that God is with you and that He's going to see you through. All you have to do is step out, one foot in front of the other. I think what I admire most about Joshua, and it's something we don't see a whole lot in this day and time, Joshua was a man of conviction. See, Joshua was willing to stand alone for what was right. He was willing to go against popular opinion. And he was willing to do the unexpected, the unusual, the not normal thing. See, even when society said, do this, he said, uh-uh, no, that's not the way to do it. He's a man of conviction. You know, the Bible says that 40 years earlier, Moses had chosen 12 spies, and that they had gone into the promised land to spy out the land, and they came back, and 10 of the spies said, no way we can do this. These in the land, they're powerful and they're strong. They're like giants. They'll eat us up. We're like little grasshoppers in their sight. And everybody said, yep, that's right. We can't do it. But there were two men that stood out in that crowd. Two men who understood this lesson about possessing your future. Two men who said, whoa, hang on there, Second House. You guys are absolutely wrong and you're hurting people. We can do this. And it was Joshua and Caleb. They said, we can do it. We can take them on. They're like eggs just waiting to be beat up. Let's take them on. The entire nation says, uh-uh. But these two men says, come on, let's go. What's interesting about this is that 40 years later, after God had let the entire adult population die off, that only two of those original people got to go into the promised land. Who were they? Joshua and Caleb. Well, some of you might be saying, you know, I don't know why I need to step out on faith. You know, it's pretty comfortable right where I'm at. I kind of like my life. Why should I shake it up? I'm getting a little long in the tooth, and I'm not as young and fit as I used to be, and let me remind you, Joshua was 80 years old. God called him to cross the Jordan River and to go into battle for the next 20 to 25 years. It ain't never too late to say yes to God. You know, the fact is, nobody remembers the people who say it can't be done. We only remember the people who say it can. With God, it can be done. That's the people we remember. Nobody remembers the negatives. The people who say, uh-uh, can't do it. Think about them 10 spies. What were their names? Everybody remembers the people who said, you know what, we're going to step out on faith. We're going to go for it. We're going to make our lives count. And that's exactly what Joshua did. It's interesting to me, in closing, that the name Joshua means deliverer. It means savior. And Joshua was the deliverer for his people. See, he delivered them into the promised land, and he beat off all 7 opposing nations and 31 different kings. Thousands of years later, God told Mary to name her boy Joshua. See, Jesus is a Greek word that means the same thing as Joshua in Hebrew. Jesus was named after Joshua because he too would be a deliverer. God said, just like that great deliverer of old, I'm sending you a new deliverer into the world. So what's the parallel? Joshua was to deliver his people from a life of wandering aimlessly in a desert to the possession of a life in a land that God had promised. Jesus stepped out of eternity to deliver you, his people, from wandering aimlessly in a wasteland of sin. He lived and he died so that you might possess the promise of eternal life. Guys, if you don't know him this morning, you can step out in faith and allow us to introduce you to him today. Ask us about them classes before you leave. Or maybe you've already taken that initial step, and now you want to possess your future. You can do it by setting up a plan, staying in the Word, and stepping out in faith. Guys, success awaits. Choice is yours.